Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Throughout history, people have been drawn to a romanticized version of ranching. The lived experience of raising cattle and horses has an even more fascinating history than most people realize. For today's Images of the Past, we explore the history of livestock branding. Gary Enright is director of the 1881 Custer Courthouse Museum, and you can find more on livestock branding on our website, sdpb.org/images of the past. Gary Enright, welcome back. Nice to talk to you again.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's been a long time.
It has been quite a while. And speaking of a long time, how far back does the history of cattle branding really go? Is it a recent invention?
Well, yeah, oddly enough, it certainly isn't a recent invention. You know, most people have an idea that cattle branding and the way cattle operations were conducted around the country all can be tied back to Mexico 1,500 years ago, when Mexicans started ranching for a living and that sort of thing. And but this beginning date of having any kind of a record about how livestock branding, that is cattle and horses particularly, how it all came about, will go all the way back to the Bible.
That's a fair ways back. Whereas, are there biblical references?
Yeah, well, there are some. And actually, the very first ones that we saw came around 2,500 years ago, back in the day when what's written in the Bible was really started at that time. But we actually find proof of the fact that people branded livestock in Egypt 2,500 years ago.
Wow.
And but that's not the last of it. The last of it is that in the Bible there is a man whose name was Jacob the herdsman in the Old Testament, and he is credited with marking his livestock in order to identify them 5,000 years ago.
I guess it makes sense, because livestock wander now, and they wandered back then. They would have had to get creative. Yes.
Yeah.
What do we know from the early references as far as how the branding was being done? Do we have a sense of how it's different or the same as what we see today?
Well, basically, they didn't describe it as much as they probably could have, because maybe they weren't thinking about how it's done. It's just the fact that it was done. But I think in Egypt, they actually showed some statues and some murals on the walls of the country that told its history, actually showed the fact that they were using a hot branding iron to mark a mark of the king or whoever the leader was of the country, and that their cattle were marked first so nobody would steal them.
Interesting. All right, so let's talk about South Dakota history. How far does branding go back here in this area?
Well, oddly enough, it's one of the first laws that was passed in the state of South Dakota by the territorial legislature. And that doesn't surprise me, because cattle ranching and horse ranching goes back a long ways. 157 years ago, 27 years before statehood, the territorial legislature passed the very first livestock branding law. So you can tell where our priority has been in the Dakotas over the years, because that's one of the hallmarks of the territorial legislature.
Interesting. So
go ahead. I'm sorry.
How much has it changed over the years then? Is that those early laws, are they still in place? Has it evolved? What are some of the things that we know about that?
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, I don't often do this when I'm doing these programs, but here at the 1881 Courthouse Museum, we actually have a brand book that belonged to the county records keepers who wrote down the names of the ranchers, the location of the ranch, and a symbol of the brand that they had that goes all the way back to about 1875 to 80. So we actually have that on display, and people could come and take a look at it. We've had a lot of people come and look up Great Grandpa's brand in this book, and we're very surprised that, in fact, there's Great Grandpa's brand in the brand book.
Interesting.
My dad was a brand inspector. That's how I grew up, having interest in the branding. And for about 30 years, he did that when I was a kid or young man. I used to help him a lot. I'd rope the calves and take them down and make sure that he could get up close and read the brands on the cattle, because he was an official of the South Dakota Brand Board.
And what was he looking for?
Oh, he would. What happens with cattle and horses is that sometimes the brand will grow over. In other words, the hair will get long again and cover up the brand, so that you actually have to take a little shears and clip the hair away, and then you can read the brand. You know, so it's quite a process. And they still do it today.
Yeah. And tell us about how some of those branding inspection laws are a little bit quirky in the state as well.
Well, there is a little bit of a quirk, and I think it goes all the way back to the very history of South Dakota, when somebody said they should have divided the state of South Dakota and North Dakota following the Missouri River and have East Dakota and West Dakota, because they're that much different. But the legislative body, the territorial legislature, saw that the eastern part of the state was going to be more farming than ranching, and that in the western part of the state they needed a system in order to identify who owned livestock. And so the South Dakota Brand Board actually said that all of our law requires the livestock owners in the western half of the state to obtain a state brand inspection document when they're moving their livestock. That means calling the brand inspector and having him come and look at your brand and make sure that you're not sending the neighbor's cattle to market too.
Did he have to tell me a little bit about your dad's work? Does he have to look at every single animal then?
Yeah, he did. As a matter of fact, and he went to the horse. I'm from Timber Lake originally, so he was at the Timber Lake Sale Barn, McLaughlin, Mobridge, Faith, all that whole area up in there. He went to all of those sale barns, and then when somebody had, we won't tell the public about this, but when I was a teenager, telephone would ring. Somebody was moving some cattle within the next couple of hours, and could my dad come out and inspect them? Well, my dad might be totally at the other end of the state doing something. And so meaning my brothers and I, learned to jump in the pickup, take the brand book with us, wrote out the transportation certificate, and we would do the brand inspection. We never told anybody we did that, but all three of us boys did that.
Yeah, and the job got done, and it got done well. Yeah.
Sure it did. You bet. Yeah.
Tell me more about the brand book as far as, like, how many brands are there? I mean, is it a pretty extensive record?
Oh, there's hundreds. There's
really?
Actually hundreds of brands in South Dakota, yes, and maybe even in the thousands, I would say, because almost everybody who owns livestock, particularly in the West River, has a brand. That it'd be very unusual for people not to have their livestock branded. Now, there are some people are exchanging the ear tag with an identification number on it, and that's becoming more and more popular. But in fact, there are literally thousands of brands issued in South Dakota. When my father died, he did not, obviously the family did not, for some reason or other, perpetuate the ownership of that brand. It was E Quarter Circle. And I heard on the radio the other day, listening to a non-public TV or radio station that had a cattle auction from the E Quarter Circle Ranch, and I thought, gee, if I could go up and prove ownership, I might be able to make some money. But I have no idea now who owns the brand.
Right. So then that the brand itself could be passed on or bought or sold,
oh, yes,
as well as the individual cattle. And they kind of look a little, you know, we mentioned the roots of ancient Egypt. They kind of look a little like hieroglyphics, don't they? Because you have to...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. What makes a good brand as far as from an inspection standpoint? Yeah.
So, I think, yeah, the thing that makes a really good brand for identification purposes is one that doesn't have too many enclosed symbols.
Okay.
They kind of run together, and it's hard to see them. It's hard to read them. But most people used an initial, one or two items on an initial of their last name or something like that. But like a Bar C Bar is a really, you know, it's a brand, XYO. You know, people just pick up anything that would have some identification with their family or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And some meaning in some ways. There's some of them sort of seem to reference, faith or reference a person. Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The last name is usually the prominent one that shows up on a brand.
Right. Yeah. So were people dishonest? Did your dad catch people trying to get over on the brand inspector?
Well, not that I remember, on a great deal of material things that went on, but I do remember one time when a truck driver was trying to cross the Missouri River Bridge at Mobridge, and somebody had called my dad and said they're moving some cattle down from off of some ranch, and the guy's got him on a truck and he's heading across, because as soon as he got across that river, then my dad's jurisdiction ended. He couldn't go over the river and do anything about it. Yeah. And he caught the guy just going onto the bridge and made him back the truck up off of the Missouri River Bridge. That was the one time that I think my dad made an enemy that did not go away for a long time.
There's a showdown there, and we know who's going to win. Yeah. Gary Enright, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Laurie. I appreciate talking to you.